Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good Sunday morning, and welcome to Hot Topics, a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department on Duval's only R&B. Here's Julie Morgan.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Julie Morgan. Today, we're talking to the Women's Center of Jacksonville. What type of services do they offer? Are these services something you can take advantage of? If you're not in need of any of these services, what about volunteering? Today, we're talking about all of the above, and I'm joined by Robin Graber. He's their Rape Recovery Team Programs Director. Robin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about the Women's Center of Jacksonville. What exactly is it?
It is a community resource for Jacksonville. We have a couple different things, but our main focus and our mission is improving the lives of women through advocacy, support, and education. And that's what kind of drives our three main departments. So we provide, in our community education department, we have a program called Bosom Buddies, which works with women who have been diagnosed with breast cancer. We offer them a support group as well as someone to help connect them to resources if they need bras or wigs or anything like that, help with pain for their treatment. We can provide those resources. We also have in that department our Expanded Horizons. That is our program that is a literacy program for women to help them get their GED, but work with women who have never been able to read or women who are very close to getting their GED, providing them one-on-one or small groups tutoring. And also letting them use our computer lab to kind of see how to take the GED, since it's entirely online these days. So helping them kind of figure out the computer mechanics and really sit with someone and have some time to feel comfortable with it. And then we also have in that department our Abuse and Later Life program. And that program works with state attorneys, law enforcement, general community partners as well, to train them on working with elder abuse. So financial abuse, neglect, domestic violence, sexual violence, all for older individuals. And that's kind of our big education department. We also have our counseling department, which is kind of the big support piece of that, where we provide one-on-one counseling that with free to low cost for women in the community about anything, job crisis, financial crisis, just personal life crisis. But then they also provide to women who have been sexually assaulted free counseling. So helping them through that aftermath, helping them find that healing process, which then leads into my department, which is the Rape Recovery Team. And our program does the advocacy side. We'll work with someone, no matter where they're at in their assault, with going through the healing process, but also any choices they want to make. So if they decide to report to law enforcement, we can help them through that. If they're needing resources to move, we can help them with that. If they just want someone to talk to in the middle of the night, we run a 24-hour hotline for that too. We also, in that department, have our Green Dot Prevention Program, where we work with Jacksonville University specifically to do bystander intervention training for the students. So really equipping the students with how to be active bystanders if they see something. If they see someone put something in a drink or a couple arguing on campus, how can they step in a safe way for themselves? And that's kind of the major parts of our programs.
Okay. Expanded Horizons, was that yes. One of them, right?
Yes, that's our literacy program. So that one really works, and again, kind of anything that the women need, but providing them one-on-one or small group tutoring. The woman who runs that program, Ruthann, also likes to say she'll find you a tutor for anything. So we've had writing groups, we've had science, math, reading, we do ESOL. But really, if you have a need that you want to get tutored on, she can probably find you someone. And we are very big on kind of giving that one-on-one, and again, at any span. So we've worked with women who have never read a book in their life and helping them, starting with Dr. Seuss and children's books. And we've worked with people who are so close to getting their GED, they just need that extra help in that math section or whichever section it is. And we'll help them also connect to some resources to pay for that exam if we can. So sometimes we have some connections in the community that we might be able to help them with.
Bosom Buddies, is that a popular program?
It is. They have a Monday night support group that's pretty much always full of women. But really just helping them find that community of other survivors of breast cancer. So finding that, I think what's really, really interesting too is the women will meet, but then you'll see in our front lobby sometimes some of their husbands or sons or fathers or other people also chatting, kind of meeting together as well. So it's kind of building that whole support system for them. And that's kind of what that program does too. They'll talk with everyone in the family to really educate them on breast cancer and what's going to be happening so they can feel supported and like they know what's going to be coming up.
Do you work with any of the local foundations, like even like the Donna Foundation?
Oh, yeah. We work very closely. And so that's kind of their big referral partner as well, helping to find that money to help pay for treatment or getting those bras after mastectomy or wigs or whatever it is that they may need. And we have a lot of really great people in the community who kind of make care bags for the women. So making bags for when they have their first treatment with blankets, with books, with everything that they may need right at that first kind of chemotherapy appointment.
You talked about your department, rape recovery, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about that. When someone first calls you, what happens? What do you tell them?
The first thing we kind of do, we're empowerment based, so we really guide what they want. So we do get a lot of people who the very first thing they say is, I don't know if I'm calling the right number. And so we just kind of talk them of, you know, tell us a little bit about the situation, as little or as much detail as you want, and give them that chance to kind of say what they want to say, and then help guide them to their next steps. We're very big on our pro-con list. So every time they have a, I'm not sure what my next step is, let's look at all the available steps and pro-con each of them. So is it reporting or is it counseling or is it moving or whatever it is that they may need? We also, in our department, we're the only department at the Women's Center that works with all ages and all genders. So we do work with male survivors as well. And we will work again with anyone affected by the violence as well. So we'll work with the partners, with the parents, with friends, family. We do a lot of work there with parents, especially whose their minor child has been assaulted. And we'll give them their own advocate, someone to talk to vent to kind of guide them through the process. But a lot of it is also just really talking to them about what they want their healing plan to be and reminding them that they can heal. One of the sayings I used to like to say when I used to work on the crisis hotline is that this may be a chapter, but it is not your whole book. So, you know, this is something that will be there forever, but we can work past it and we can move past it. And it takes time, but we can do it. And so giving them that kind of hope for healing right then.
If someone calls and they say that they don't want to report, do you urge them to report?
We don't. So we are, like I said, empowerment based. So we'll really talk them through that. We do get a lot of people who, while I think they can be great shows, have watched a little too much Law & Order, SVU, and CSI. So they're a little confused and scared of the legal system. So again, great shows for entertainment purposes, but not an accurate representation. So one of the things that we do is constant education. Again, we won't ever force them to report or even kind of like try and sway them that way. But if they ask questions a little more, one of the things we do really see, though, is that we have such a great partnership with all of the law enforcement agencies here that we can report down at our center. So one of the biggest fears we get from people is, I don't want law enforcement outside my house. Then my whole neighborhood knows that something's going on. Well, we can solve that. Come down to our center. It's not a confidential location, but it is just off the Arlington Expressway on a street with just us. So it's not like a lot of people drive by. And we have JSO there all the time. So again, it's not going to be a thing where everyone knows that it's you. So we offer that. It's also a safe, calm, warming environment. So it really gives them that option of, if that's your big fear that everyone's going to know, we can do it somewhere more private. And we work very closely with our law enforcement that they'll come do that without an issue. They'll respond right out and take that report. We're also very lucky because in Florida, we have a legal requirement that an advocate can be there for a deposition. But again, with our partnerships with our law enforcement, we get to be there for every step of the way with a survivor. So when they meet with a detective, when they meet with a patrol officer, when they go to the state attorney's office, we get to be there with them. So we get to provide, again, that person who knows what's going on, can kind of navigate them through and explain the criminal justice process and be there with them. And we don't have any time limits. So if everything happens right away, great. If they come to us a year after coming into service with us and say, I want to report now, we'll do that too. You know, we don't limit them on saying you have to make any decision right that second. And I think that's one of the best things for them, too, is it really gives them that chance to think it over themselves. And again, gives them that power back.
Now, one of the things I thought that was interesting, you're the Women's Center of Jacksonville, but you said that your department is one that works with all genders.
Yes.
Rape against a man, is it underreported?
Yes, absolutely. So the studies all kind of vary. You'll hear 1 in 33 or 1 in 10 or 1 in 6. And it all kind of depends on who you're looking at. We say one is too many, and we average about 10% of our caseload is usually men at any time. One of the big things where we receive from our men is that we work with the Prison Rape Elimination Act. So we actually go into the jails and the prisons here and work with inmates who have been sexually assaulted, whether before they came into the jail or if they've been assaulted while they were incarcerated. So we work with them, trying to help them heal there. But I actually used to run a support group for men in a jail, and getting them to report to law enforcement was so hard. They would never want to, because there is that stigma of you have to be a very strong man. You can't cry. You have to fight back. So in cases where they may not have fought back or where they got hurt, they don't want to tell anyone. They want to keep it private. So it is, it's a different stigma. I think all survivors of sexual violence definitely deal with different stigmas. But men especially have some of those kind of masculinity box stigmas with it.
So how do you help them through that?
We will provide them and try and help them with the counseling. We kind of give them the same thing too. You know, we'll go with them through everything. So if they're afraid that law enforcement's going to laugh at them or something like that, we can assure them that won't happen, but also we'll be there. So even if it did happen, we'd be able to step in. I will say I've never had a law enforcement officer do that, but kind of giving them that back. The other thing that I think we especially see with male survivors of childhood sexual abuse is that the media way back used to report that if you were abused, you were automatically going to become an abuser. So we do a lot of education and talking with them about just because something happened to you doesn't mean you're going to do it to someone else, and getting them out of that fear mode that, you know, you can be around your own children. You're not going to hurt them just because you happen to have been sexually abused. And really meeting with them, kind of doing that crisis intervention and that long-term counseling for them.
Hot 99.5, keeping you up to date with what's happening in the community. This is Hot Topics on Hot 99.5.
After someone has been sexually assaulted, do you have classes that may help them with self-defense?
We specifically don't, mostly because none of my staff are trained in that. but we do connect them if they're interested in that. So one of the things that we see too, though, is on the reverse side of that, is sometimes people can go through the self-defense class, but they're still going to freeze because it's your brain's automatic response. So we do try to prep people on that if they're going to take that self-defense class, but it definitely can be something that empowers people and can make them feel like a little stronger, or feel like they have that power and agency back. So we'll connect them. And there's a few different places in Jacksonville that also will sometimes just do free open ones. So we do like to share those on our social media, or even just with posters around our building for when people are walking through the building, they can see that there is that free class available coming up. But our facility is also very small, so there's not a space to do self-defense without hurting something.
I gotcha. Do a lot of people know that you exist?
It's interesting. Sometimes it seems like it'll, you know, I can go into a restaurant and forget to take off my name badge, and I'll usually have at least one person say, like, I've been through something there, or I have a friend who did, or that kind of thing. But then sometimes we'll go out into the community and they've never even heard of us, which we've been around for almost 23 years now. So it is kind of interesting that there's still some times where people don't know. So we are actually this year and years forward, we're really trying to increase that awareness. I right now have the largest team that the Rape Recovery team's ever had. So we do a lot of sending our advocates out to different trainings, to events, to kind of get our name out there and make sure people know that our services are available.
Do you have any programs that are ongoing or events that are coming up?
Yes, we do have our annual gala, which this year is going to be the Year of the Pearl. It's coming up on August 18th at 6:30 p.m. at the Queens Harbor Yacht and Country Club. It's going to be a night of dinner, dancing, and a live and silent auction. And that's kind of our biggest fundraiser of the year. Normally it brings in the most money. But it really is a chance for people to kind of hang out, have dinner, bid on auction items. But then also we usually have speakers who have been through the Women's Center programs kind of tell their story. Last year we had a client give a beautiful cover of Demi Lovato's song Warrior. And she played that. We've had people who've gone through our tutoring program and who have gotten their GED and continued their education come back and speak on that. We especially love, we've had them come back and be tutors themselves. So having that story as well of, you know, I got it here, I then came back and tutored, and I helped this person also get theirs. We really like to show that community what we do and why we're here and how it is impacting people in a positive way.
Okay, so you have that gala coming up. Anything else?
Yes, then also in September, we have our 7th annual Remission Rocks, and that specifically supports our Bosom Buddies program, and it's at the River City Brewing Company at 7 p.m., and that one is really, they have usually have a couple different bands. One of them is a band of doctors called No Known Cure, who play music. They usually have some dancing, food, drinks, and they also have a small silent auction as well, and that one's really a lot more community members coming in and really having that chance to see survivors and hear from survivors of breast cancer as well, and kind of understand where that money goes to and how it can help us. And then we do offer a drop-in, a mental health art support group called, with a partnership through I Still Matter. It's for women who have been through trauma specifically. And that is the fourth Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. down at our center. So they can come in. It's a drop-in. You don't have to sign up or anything. You can just show up that day, the fourth Tuesday. And it gives them a chance to connect with other women who have been through trauma while also creating art. So making something and kind of using all of that energy inside of them and making something creative.
Who can volunteer? Are you looking for volunteers?
We are always looking for volunteers. I always say anyone and everyone. We do only take 18 and up only because of the nature of our work. But one of the interesting things I tell people all the time is, you know, you don't have to volunteer just to be an advocate. We love that. We love people who volunteer to be an advocate and hold our hotline and respond to forensic exams with survivors, which is another piece that we do is we run the forensic exam program. But I also, you know, if that's not your thing, if you're not comfortable there, you're not feeling sure of yourself, I can also use help with filing. I can use help with running events. You know, we can find places. Our Expanded Horizons program as well is entirely volunteer run when it comes to the tutoring. So if you are good in math, science, reading, English as a second language, whatever it is, we love tutors to come in on that. And the more tutors we have, the more options we can offer women for time and date. So, you know, we recognize not everyone can just come Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. So we do night classes. We make sure that there's availability morning, noon, night, all of it. And so the more tutors we can have, the more volunteers we can have, then it means the more that these women can have access to these services.
Now, one thing you just mentioned, let's double back, the forensic exam.
Yes.
So what is that?
When a survivor is sexually assaulted, they have up to 5 days to have evidence collected in a sexual assault forensic exam. And so we run the program for adult survivors of sexual violence. And through that, we collect evidence, but also do a medical check for them. And then we also offer them some antibiotics after, so to help prevent any STIs. If there's a concern of HIV, we can also connect them with getting some antibiotics for that as well. But that is a free of charge exam. And the really good thing about that is that you can get it whether you've reported or not. So again, when we have someone who shows up to us, not sure if they want to report, we can still collect that evidence. It gets held for at least 2 years. And then if they report within that 2 years, it'll get sent off for testing. And they may be able to then find the perpetrator or link it to the perpetrator. And sometimes even link it to other cases.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, because I'm thinking forensic exam. Okay, you mentioned SVU and all those other. I watched that religiously. How are you guys able to do that? Do you have medical staff?
We do. So I employ, I like to call them an army of nurses, but they are. I have someone who runs this program specifically, and then under her are also contract nurses. So we're always looking for contract nurses as well. But they go through a SANE training specifically, and then they go through training with us, and then they are SANE certified to go out and provide these exams. So they are nurses, a lot of registered nurses or nurse practitioners who are out in the community doing it. And it really is, for most of them, this isn't their full-time job. So it is a passion of theirs to come and offer us some time to provide these exams to survivors.
Is the exam done at the person's home, or is it done in your office, or how does that work?
It's either done at our second office, which is a forensic exam facility. It's right now we are sharing space with the Victim Services Center of Jacksonville through the city. So they've donated that space to us very graciously, or at a hospital. So one of the things is that our facility is not equipped for if someone crashes. We don't have any of the kind of equipment that a normal hospital has. So if they have any kind of open wounds that need treatment or head injury that might need a CAT scan, we're going to triage them to the hospital and we'll do the exam there.
Is there anything else you'd like to add about the Women's Center of Jacksonville?
I think just reiterating that we do have that 24-hour hotline, and that number is 904-721-7273. And the big thing about our agency in general is that we don't turn people away. So if someone shows up to our office or calls our mainline or calls our hotline and we don't have the service that's offered, we're going to connect you to it and we're going to make sure you get to it. We're not just going to say, that's not us, we don't have that, and hang up. We're going to make sure you find those resources and that they actually connect with you. So if you ever have a question and you're not sure if you're a fit for our programs, just call. You can always just ask those questions. On our hotline, you also can stay anonymous. If you're not ready to give names or meet with someone, you can call and just say, I don't want to give my name, but I want to talk. And our advocates are trained and ready for that.
Tell everyone your website.
Yep. Our website is womenscenterofjax.org. And that is actually where you can find the event information for the annual gala and for Remission Rocks. And that's where you can buy tickets as well. It also does have a lot of good information about all of our programs and our volunteer application as well. So if you are interested in that volunteering, you can go right on there, fill it out online, and it gets sent straight to our volunteer coordinator who will reach out to you.
Sounds good. Robin, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
And thank you as well for joining us today on Hot Topics. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Hot Topics on Hot 99.5. Hot Topics is a presentation of Hot 99.5's Community Affairs Department. For more information about the program you just heard, visit myhot995.com, then click on Hot Cares. And join us again next Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. for another edition of Hot Topics on Duval's only R&B, the new Hot 99.5.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.